Well, a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Chuck spoke on, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," and talked about the importance of sticking with the things of God. And then I thought it was interesting because Pastor Sue wasn't there that week. And then the following week, Pastor Sue preached on being spiritually fit and the things you need to do to be spiritually fit. And I just love the way the Holy Spirit works because it's been a few weeks ago now before Pastor Chuck preached that I felt the Lord putting on my heart to speak on obedience. So I think God is saying something to us this month through each of us. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to start with John chapter 14. And we're just going to look at several verses from this chapter. I'm not taking anything out of context, all right? Because it's Jesus' discourse to the disciples, you know, his last will and testament that I like to call it. And so, you know, I'm not taking anything out of context by jumping around. It's just for time's sake. You can read the whole chapter and know everything fits in, all right? So we're going to start with verse 15. This is Jesus talking, remember. "If you love me, obey my commandments." Do you love Jesus, church? We'll obey his word. All right? Next verse. That's the first time he said it. "Those who accept my commandments and obey them," I'm reading from the NLT, by the way. It might be different to what's up there. That's why I've printed this one, because I wanted what my thing says, okay? "Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me." Now he said it twice. "And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them." And then we jump to verse 23. Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say." So three times in less than 10 verses, Jesus has said, "If you love me, obey me. If you love me, do what I say." And, you know, number three in the Bible that I know Louise would know all about Bible numbers. But three basically stands for, it represents divine wholeness or completeness or perfection. So to me, the fact that Jesus has said this three times in less than 10 verses, he's trying to get across something to us, you know, like, love me, but obey me, because it's going to bring wholeness, completeness, and perfection. All right? So let's carry on from there. "My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. I'm telling you these things now while I am still with you." Jesus says, if you love me, obey me. Now, parents who are here, even parents of animals, don't you love it when your children obey you? Okay? There's just something about it when they obey you. And I used to quote, I'm going back to my scriptures, right? I used to quote a scripture to my children, and I quote it to my two elder grandchildren often, and the youngest one will get it quoted to her when she's a little bit more can understand it. Ephesians 6:1. Okay, help me, Zoe. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, because it is the first commandment with promise." And the promise is, it will go well with you, and you will live long on the earth. That's a whopping big promise. So if God tells our children to obey their parents, who is our Heavenly Father? He is our Papa Daddy, our Abba Father. It would make sense to me that the same thing applies to us in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. He is saying to you, church, obey me, your Heavenly Father, and honor me, because if you do, It's going to bring a promise of things will go well with you and you will live long on the earth. Not because if you don't obey me, bad, bad, I'm going to make things go wrong with you. No, it's because his way is better. His way is better. So when we listen to him and we obey him, things go well with us and we will live long on the earth. So Jesus says, keep my commandments. So loving Jesus means obeying him. Now you have to remember, he said the kingdom of God is within us. And, you know, the disciples had a hard time getting their head around that because they thought that kingdom was going to be a geographical location that was going to plop itself on the earth, right? But no, no, no. The kingdom is within us, and the kingdom is God's reign. It's his way of doing things. It's the principles of heaven and the lifestyle of heaven. So whenever you are in the reign of a king, you submit to his authority and his reign. And you listen and you obey and you yield to that authority. So his authority is recognized and obeyed. And that's what it is when we come into the kingdom of God. It's an acknowledgement of the Lord Jesus as Lord of all. Now, oftentimes we come into the kingdom, we get born again, and yes, we're going to go to heaven, and yes, you know, we go to church or we do whatever, but Jesus isn't really Lord of everything. And that's the key here. The key to loving Jesus and obeying him is that he is Lord of everything. He's Lord of our work. He's Lord of our families. He's Lord of our recreation. He's Lord of our relationships. He's Lord of our health. He's Lord of our resources. He's Lord of our time. He's Lord of our money. All those things, everything. Not just what, well, I'll choose, okay, I'll let him have this, but I'm going to do this my way. All right? It means Jesus is Lord. So what is it about this four-letter word, obey, that people don't like? Let's face it. People do not like the word obey. Kids don't like it. Employees don't like it. You know, it just doesn't matter where you go. Obey. Oh, you know, I'm not gonna come under that. Why do I have to obey that? Why do I have to follow to that? Obey the role rules? Nah. You know, well, this is what the dictionary says. Normal dictionary. To obey is to execute the commands of or yield submission to a higher authority. Nobody likes to do that. We don't like yielding submission to any higher authority in the general name. But that's what it means, yielding submission to a higher authority. The Bible dictionary says this. To obey is to hear God's word and act accordingly. Wow, simple. Hear God's word on any truth and act accordingly. Hear God's word and do it. But you got to be hearing God's word to know what it says to do it. And the best place to look is the gospel. I know we have the letters to the churches, but Jesus, I'm going to tell you, the discourse he gave on the Sermon on the Mount and everything he instructed his disciples to do, that's how we should be living. That's what it means to obey. It's to hear his word and to do it. But, you know, obeying is also a trust thing. Because if you trust the person you are under or submitting authority to, it becomes easy to obey them. Let's look at the Proverbs passage, Hannah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. So, you know, we get to certain things in our life and, you know, we have choices or decisions to make. And, you know, we just want to go our way, or we want to go our flesh way or our soul way or whatever. And yet, if we really trusted God that his way was better, it would be simple to obey him. We would obey him without question. But the problem is we don't trust him. We think, well, that doesn't make sense. That's not right. Why should I do that? Why, I don't understand that, you know, like, it. Why should I obey when, you know, this seems much better? And so, you know, but let me tell you, any time your opinion differs to Scripture, you're wrong, not God. There's the line. Your opinion differs to Scripture, you're the one that's wrong. God is not wrong. You know, we see it in our culture today. You know, a lot of people's opinions differs to Scripture. They're wrong, not God. And it's not because God, you know, hates people. I hate when that gets preached or spoken, you know. God loves humanity. That's why he has the principles set in place that he has, because he knows if you follow his principles, you will not go down the path to destruction, right? So if God doesn't say it, it's wrong. It's wrong, regardless of what it is. It's wrong. So, you know, the common assumption these days is that culture trumps Scripture. And so, you know, and I'm sure you're getting it everywhere. Everywhere you go. Well, you know, yeah, but, you know, come on. This is a new day. Come on, like, be relevant. Like, you know, what's wrong with same-sex marriage? What's wrong with just living together? What's wrong with these things? Because it's not God's way, so it's wrong. It's wrong. We love the people who are going against God's way, and God loves them and is drawing them always trying to draw people his way, not because I want it my way, because he knows his way will be the best way. And let's face it, we can see the world around us self-destructing because year after year through history, we've gotten further away from the things of God. Further and further away from the way God says to do things. And that's our problem in society today. So let's just look at James chapter 1 about being doers of the word and not just hearers. And I'm reading this one from the NIV. It says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And some translations say, which can save your soul. You know, it's that word implanted in your spirit that saves your soul, and the soul is our enemy. Our mind, our will, and emotions, right? That's a big enemy. Paul talks about it all the time, that, you know, what I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, I do. That fight with the soul and the spirit. Well, this says, accept the word planted in you, which can save you, save your soul. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently, and get this, into the perfect law. These days, everybody hates that word law. We're not in law. We're in grace. This says, looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. Let me tell you, the word of God and obeying it brings freedom. Brings freedom. And continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it. They will be blessed in what they do. There it is again, that completeness, that divine wholeness, that perfection. We obey, we do the word. And like I said, it's not because of works. It's because you're in a love relationship with God. And you trust him, and you know he's got what's best for you. And so it says, just do it. You'll be blessed in what you do. And, you know, we like to study the word. We like to memorize the word. We like to go to conferences. We like to do all these things. But it will do nothing for you if you're not doing and putting into practice what you're hearing. Now, Hannah's got a little video clip there. It's only very short to just stress the point.
did you clean your room like I asked?
It should be taken care of.
Should be?
Yeah, I memorized it. Please clean your room.
So did you clean it or not?
I got "please clean your room" tattooed on my arm as a symbol of my devotion of cleaning my room.
So did you do it?
I went to the coffee shop with my friends to discuss what you may have meant by cleaning your room. We studied the word clean in the Greek. It's kathalos. And in Arabic, it's muthi.
So did you clean your room?
I went to the convention to study how to clean rooms. For 2 days, I studied on how to clean rooms.
And then you cleaned your room?
Like I said, it should be taken care of.
Show me.
Okay. That is sometimes what we Christians are like. I got it tattooed. We got the cards right in front of our eyes. We put them on the refrigerator. We memorize it. We go to conferences. We study our word. We put it all in there. And then, you know, we just do what we want to do. You know, we get aggro with somebody. We hold grudges. We get out of love. You know, we just, you know, yeah, but it's in there. It's in there. I studied it. Got to apply it. You got to do it. It's all about doing. You know, it's common to think today, it's common to think, well, it doesn't matter if I obey. Now, hear me out. It doesn't matter because, you know, we're under grace and God understands and he fills in the lack. You know, you can get really dangerous with the grace message. You can get dangerous with the legalistic law message. But I'm telling you, the law of love and the law of God, whatever his word says, is the way to go. Get cut the legalism out of it. And you can't just say, well, God will understand. Of course he understands, because he's God and he loves us. And yes, his grace is amazing. But you're not going to get the results you want. Like it says, you will be blessed if you do everything that I say, because I know the best way and I'm trying to lead you in the best way. You know, you can't just cut scripture out that you don't like. It's all there for all of us. When scripture says to walk in love, you get the Holy Spirit to help you walk in love with that person that you've been having trouble with, right? The scripture says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Oh, well, I'm busy and God understands. I can only get to church once a month and God understands that. No, scripture says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because as the time gets closer, you really need each other. Right? Scripture says, forgive. Do we obey it? Scripture talks a lot about a lot of things. Our marriage relationships talks about how husbands and wives should submit to one another, how children should submit to their parents in our relationships. Listen to it, obey it, and you will have a rock solid marriage. Now, scripture talks about tithing and giving. I don't care, you can call it law all you want. But it is a principle that works, and I tithe because I love God, and it's only 10% out of everything he gives me. Oh, my Jesus, he multiplies it. And you know what? There's freedom in that, knowing I trust God enough with that part of my money. You can rip all these scriptures out and say that's law, that's grace, but you know what? It's a heart that's in love. He said, do you love me? Then do what I say. It's as simple as that. It could go on and on. Like I said, Sermon on the Mount, you know, just have a read of it. Just that alone, not to mention all the other things that Jesus talks about keeping in line with. You know, it's we can't just say, I'm too busy, I'm this, and God understands. You know, if we want to live a rock solid life, you know, let me tell you something. I was brought up very legalistic. Now, I'm not legalistic. I believe in the grace of God and the love of God. But let me tell you, I do not resent one minute how I was brought up. Because you know why? They taught me to love God and to obey him. Now, some of the things, yes, were man's tradition, but you work that out as you get older, all right? But that has put me in such good stead today, and you know what? I much rather err on the side of legalism than sloppy grace. I'd much rather. Because, you know, those things now, some of those things, yes, some of them were, you know, you can't wear makeup and all that. That was, you know, that okay. You drop those things off, but even to that point of how much I adorn myself and all that, it can get out of hand. It can become a god. And you know, that upbringing that I had, I don't resent, because it taught me how to love God, and everything I do and the way I act and the way the things I shun and the things I don't accept, I don't feel prudish about it at all. You know why? Because God says it. If God said it, I stand for it, and I try my best to apply it in my life. And that comes from being brought up in a legalistic church and very strict parents. And I'll tell you, I'm standing here today because of that grounding and because it taught me to love God and listen to him regardless of what culture says, regardless of what my neighbor says, regardless of who thinks, oh, well, that's ridiculous, or that's law. No, no, no. It taught me, I don't do it out of pressure or out of guilt. I do it because I love God and I see results. You know, I praise God. I praise God. I'm 63 years old. I'm not on any medication. Not a lot of people can say that, right? And my boast isn't in me. My boast is only in God, because I do my best to listen to him. He knows how we should eat if you listen to him. Everything should be trust and obey. Hear and obey. And I'm telling you, it will go well with you. It doesn't mean you're not going to get any storm. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's look at 1 John 2, 3 to 6. Did we just do that? No, we didn't. Okay, the NIV first. Hannah? Yeah. We know that we have come to him. We know that we have come to him if we keep his commandments. See, I've read so many verses, and this isn't all of them. So, you know, there is a message here. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. That's pretty strong. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. There's that word completeness again. If you obey his word, your love has become complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Jesus said, told his disciples, go in all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples, teaching them what I have commanded you. That's what we should be doing. And just pull it up in the Amplified, Hannah. I didn't write that one down, so I need yours. Okay, this is what how the Amplified says it with all its wording, but it's interesting. And this is how we may discern daily by experience that we are coming to know him, to perceive, recognize, understand, and become better acquainted with him. If we keep or bear in mind or observe or practice his teachings or his precepts or commandments, Whoever says, I know him, I perceive, recognize, understand, and am acquainted with him, but fails to keep and obey his commandments or his teachings is a liar, and the truth of the gospel is not in him. But he who keeps, treasures, I like that word, treasures his word, who bears in mind his precepts, who observes his message in its entirety. Not just what you want, not just rip out this verse and I'll listen to this one doesn't suit me, that was the culture of the day. Yeah, I know there was things the culture of the day, but you can take the gist of what they're saying, right? Who observes his message in its entirety, truly in him the love of and for God has been perfected, completed, reached maturity. Again, that number three, divine wholeness, maturity, completeness, perfection. By this way, we may perceive, know, recognize, and be sure that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought, as a personal debt, to walk and conduct himself in the same way in which he walked and conducted himself. Boy, that's a mouthful. And look, I'm just going to finish with Luke 6, what I was starting to get into just a little bit a minute ago. And this is Luke 6, 46 to 49, and this is in the NLT, and it says, so why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? We like to say, Lord, oh, I love you, Lord. But, I don't know about that. I want to do this, okay? I think, and it's funny, too. The amount of time, God gets blamed for a lot of things. The amount of times we hear people say, oh, you know it wasn't God because it's not scriptural, whatever. You hear people say, oh, God told me to do that. Or, I wasn't happy. We actually heard this years ago. I wasn't happy in my marriage, so God told me that I could leave it because she didn't make me happy. God didn't tell you that. God gets blamed for a lot of things. Oh, I felt God told me it's time to change churches. God told me to move on. God told me to do this. God told me to do that. And I think, God didn't tell you anything like that. God tells us to be faithful in our house. God tells us to be faithful. He tells us to submit to authority. I'm not talking about our authority. His authority. I just think, come on, people. Back to the verse. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation of solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it's well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse it into a heap of ruins. And let me tell you, being a Christian doesn't mean you're free of strife and free of storms and free of trials, because he tells us right there, the storms will come. Sometimes the enemy comes against us, or people comes against us, and sometimes it's because we didn't obey, or we went our own way. Whichever way, God will always get you back on track if you let him, if you listen to him. The storms will come, but if you are founded on the word, let me tell you, we've been through storms. Not like we haven't been through anything. And a few of them were our mistakes, right? So it takes you a while to get out of that, but God gets you out. But the better way is to obey. The better way is to listen. So when the storms come and hit from outside, see, the more you listen to him and obey, the less the storm will be of your doing, if I can put it that way. Right? So the more you listen to him and obey with anything, with relationships, with marriage, with your work, with everything, the more you listen to him and obey, the less storm you will have hit against you. Now, it doesn't take away that the enemy rails at us. So there could be other trials and storms. But when you have learned to love him and obey him, that's what the scripture says. You know his word and you're founded on the rock. It can batter you, but you still come up standing. Praise God, we're still standing. Praise God, you're all still standing. You know, it's hearing the word and obeying the word. But I'm telling you, if you don't listen to the word, if you don't obey what it says, the storms will come and it will flatten you. And that's when many people, like you talked about being shipwrecked, many people get shipwrecked in that state, and some never recover. Never recover, and it's sad. I can just encourage you this morning, church. Children, obey your Heavenly Father in the Lord. Honor him with everything. Because it is right, and because it is the first commandment with promise. It will go well with you, and you will live long on this earth. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up, please. If we can just have the faithful song. I'm like, I don't know where you're all, you know, at this morning. You know, with things like that. I know we all go through patches, and sometimes it's hard to get back on track, you know, when you've maybe missed it or whatever. And that's where God's grace is marvelous. You know, it's knowing that he will get us back on track and pick us up. You know, we don't want to abuse his grace and just take it for granted, you know. I thank God that it's there, and I thank God it wouldn't matter how much I stuff up, that he does find a way, and he does get me back on track. But boy, it's a lot better not stuffing up. A whole lot better listening to his word, because his ways are always higher than ours, and his thoughts are higher than ours. And we might not understand it. We might want to make logic or reason away or whatever. But let me tell you, it's not worth reasoning away what God says, because his ways are higher than ours and his thoughts are higher than ours. Amen. If you have, while we sing this song, you know, if you feel like there's been something maybe God's been talking to you about and you haven't been obeying, or, you know, you're kind of missing it in that, and, you know, just come up and we'll just have some prayer with you. Or you can just pray here on your own. At the front, just spend some time with God, whatever, as we sing this song.